All you fathers, happy Father's Day to the greatest Father, our Heavenly Father. You may have grew up without an earthly father and may not know him or may have had a terrible time with him, but we all have, if you're saved, you have a Heavenly Father that I promise you has never let you down. He's never failed you. He's always been there for you. And so rejoice in that. If you do have a living father, I'd encourage you, go see him today. Call him, text him, spend time with him if you can. The day will come when you won't be able to do that, and you will wish to God you had when you could have. And so I encourage you, don't let little things cause you to waste time that one day you will wish you could buy back, and it won't be there. I found there ain't a whole lot in life that we let get real big and cause us not to talk to people and mess up a relationship. Most things are fixable, and in context of time, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth all the time you let go under. Go by and pass by, just fix it. Even if you was right, be the bigger person and say I'm sorry, and try to fix that relationship, and it'll be good for you. Promise you. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Go with me to Genesis chapter number 18, and I won't keep you long this morning, but. Genesis chapter number 18. While you're turning there, I'll have you stand in just a moment, but let me read this verse to you out of Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The Bible says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Challenge every father this morning, and every person for that matter. If you want to have good success and be a prosperous, successful person, successful father, God give us the ingredients of how to accomplish that. Right there, meditate in His law day and night, observe the Word of God, and hear it and heed the Word of God. Amen. And you will prosper and you will succeed if you make much of this book and let this book make much of you. That is how we successfully live the Christian life. Genesis chapter 18, if you're there, stand to your feet. We'll let you stretch a minute. And we'll honor God's word as we read a couple of verses together. Look down, if you will, at verse number 17. Genesis chapter 18, verse number 17. We'll read together. "And the Lord said, Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him. And they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him." You can have a seat. Thank you for standing. Just highlight and read again verse 19. "For I know him," this is God speaking of Abraham, "that he will command his children and his household after him." God looked at the life of Abraham, and this is not Abraham's testimony about himself. This is not even what another good person or a good wife would say about her husband and the father of her children. But this was none other than God Almighty, who cannot and will not lie, testify to the fact of the character of none other than Abraham, and how that he would command his children to walk uprightly before the Lord, and that he would raise them and nurture them in the word of the Lord. And this morning I want to preach on the subject for a few minutes, how to be a successful father. And if you are a father this morning, I'm sure it didn't take you long to figure out you don't have all the answers. I used to think I knew how to be a father until I became one. And I've been doing it for 18 years plus. And I've got plenty of time put in trying to learn how to be a father. And I have four wonderful daughters this morning, and I thank God for it. I wouldn't trade them for nothing in the world. But to date, I wouldn't testify that I've been a successful father. They're turning out good so far, but I have failed miserably as a father. And if you are a father, you would probably testify, if you're not too prideful, that you have not been successful yourself, and that you have failed. But God give us what we need, everything that we need to be a successful father. And I want to look at a few of them this morning. But before we get there, Father's Day started. How many of you know when Father's Day started and how it started? You can go home today saying you learned something. I didn't know this either, but Father's Day started June the 19th, 1910, so over 100 years ago, by a young lady named Saranta Dodd. And her father was a single parent and raised her and her five other siblings, a total of six children, all by himself. And boy, I respect a man that will do that. I know how hard it is raising four daughters with the help of a mother. I couldn't imagine raising six children all by myself. But she saw how wonderful of a job and how successful he was being as a father, and she contacted and petitioned the government of the United States to try to and somehow honor her father for the great job he was doing, and that's how Father's Day was started. I doubt I'll ever have a holiday started after me or because I did something good. But this man did, and I think the Bible says give honor where honor is due. And this man surely deserved to be honored for raising his children. But I believe every father, and I'll go ahead and say this, most of you seen the display as you walked in. If you come in the front doors this morning and saw those tables in the vestibule back there, and after the service, we want to honor every father and try to help you unleash and unlatch that button off of your belt. And got a dozen donuts for every father, so you go by on your way out and get those. Just a small token of our appreciation for you and bringing your children and family. Let's look this morning. I want to look at fathers who truly, one father in the Word of God, and there's many, but one who truly was successful. You read about Abraham, and he's even known as Father Abraham, the father of a nation, and the father of our faith. But he was a father to his children. And I promise you, he was a man of God. And again, not because I said so, but God said that. Don't you want God to look at you and your life and say, that man was a faithful father? I do. I want my children to say that about me. I want my children to be able to look at me and not see a hypocrite and see one thing at church or behind the pulpit and around God's people, and then at home see another man on Sundays hear me preaching the Word of God and saying amen, and then at home with the same mouth cussing and causing all... Listen, our children have so much against them, they don't need a hypocrite for a daddy. They need if there's one place in their life, they need a firm, steady foundation, it's in their home. I seen this statistic this morning. If you have a father that raised you and you got to live with your daddy growing up, you ought to thank God. You know how many kids woke up this morning that didn't have a father in their home? Over 19 million children in America woke up this morning without a father figure in the home. I dealt with, I don't remember what I was preaching, but last week or the week before, I give several statistics about how that impacts children and how they're 2 to 3 more times more likely to end up in prison than somebody who was raised with a mother and a father. And so it absolutely matters, and you can make a difference in the life of your children by being a successful father. I have many titles and names that people call me. Some people call me Brother Michael. Some people call me preacher or pastor. I have been called way worse and have way more titles that I can't even say publicly. I have one woman who even refers to me as honey or something of that nature. But one name that's special to me, and one title that's special to me, is when I hear the name Daddy. There's just something, when you hear that name, you know it's not talking about anybody but you, especially when you hear it coming from a voice that is so familiar, and you know it's one of your children. When you hear Daddy, you want to stop the press and stop what you're doing and go to that voice. And every father can be successful by pursuing the following truths. Number one, a successful father, I believe, will, number one, devote his family to the Lord. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body." That verse ain't popular in America 2022. That is not politically correct. The husband, you saying, and mean for me to believe that a man is above a woman? Well, that you could get in trouble these days saying something like that. Well, the good part about it is I didn't say it. I just repeated what God said. So I don't have to hide behind words when God said it. I can stand up broad-footed and look you eyeball to eyeball and say that's the truth. Man in the home is above the woman. And ladies, you ought to thank God for that, because he's the one that's going to stand and give an account to God for the way that home went.
Amen.
You ought to take great pleasure in that. And that's right. That don't mean that a mother or a wife don't have a role in the home and that she's not equally as important, because she is. But when it boils down to, every father hear me, when it boils down to the direction that your family, the direction your children ends up going, fathers are ultimately accountable to God. Sadly, in America, and most of my lifetime, it's been this way. Most of the churches I preach in, it's this way. The churches I've pastored has been this way. Women are the dominant force in the church. There's usually way more women than they are men. There's way more mamas than they are daddies bringing their children to church. Usually, it's almost always up to mama to get the children up and ready and get them to the house of God. Yeah. That ought not be. The father of the home should set the standard and not just say, "I command and demand y'all get up, get ready, and go to church." No, a father should get up and get himself ready and train his children that there's something special about the Lord's Day. That on the Lord's Day, it's not up for debate. That I'm going to devote my life, and I'm going to devote the life of my children while they're under my roof, that we're going to be devoted to the Lord.
Amen.
They need to see Daddy not only say that, but they need to see Daddy live that. We should train our children and teach them that we are devoted to the Lord. Amen. The Bible said, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." Don't you believe that Christ is the head of the church? Well, you can't say that out of one side of your mouth and then disagree that man ain't the head of the house. He is. In the same verse, it tells us that. And as Christ is the head of the church, and the Bible says that we ought to love our wives and give ourselves to our wives, even as Christ gave himself for the church. Hey, listen, Jesus gave us fathers the pattern of how to lead and how to love our family. He loved the church and gave himself for it. And as parents and as fathers, we ought to love our children, and love our wife enough that we would live for God and be devoted to God, because you can never give your children or your home a better life to live than to live a life that's devoted to the Lord. Amen. You cannot reach success outside of being devoted to the Lord. Oh, you may rise up the ladder in some kind of career. You may go to the peaks, all the way to the top, and have money in the bank, and have all kind of titles under your name, and people that respect you. And when they hear your name, boy, you're respected and you're a renowned person. But what does that mean if you do all that out there and in your own home you lose your own children? I've spent most of my life preaching the Word of God and pastoring Baptist people. Y'all pray for me. I say all this gray, that's why. But I've led, I can't tell you how many young people, young ladies, young boys and girls to the Lord, and seen many young people come down and get saved and born in. I've took the Word of God and led them personally to the Lord. Countless of them. And I've invested my life in preaching and counseling and teaching young people how to live for the Lord and how to be devoted to Jesus. But what a shame and what a disgrace if I spend all of my time and effort and energy telling people and telling young people how to get to Jesus and how to live for Jesus and how to be devoted to Jesus, and I fail to do that for my own children, and I gain all of them and lose my own. That's a price I'm not willing to pay. I want the world to come to Jesus, but first and foremost, I want my children to go to heaven with me. I believe in a household salvation. Over and over, you'll read in the Word of God how somebody trusted on the Lord and them and their household were saved. I don't want to get to heaven and find out one of my children didn't make it. Oh, I can't imagine, Brother Ned, getting to heaven and ready to rejoice while the ages roll on, ready for that great time of reconciliation when we're reunited with all our loved ones that have gone before. And there we are around the throne, and you look and nowhere to be found is your daughter. Nowhere to be found is your son. Listen, I say to you, win the world to Jesus, but before you get to the world, you better focus on your children. Don't go to heaven without carrying your children with you. Amen. Amen. I can't think of much of a greater tragedy than that. Amen. It is a father's responsibility to see to it that we go to church, honor the Lord, and live for Him. You may have a lot of responsibilities as a father this morning, but your greatest responsibility as a father is to devote your life and your home to the Lord. It's your greatest responsibility. If you miss that, you've missed it all. You can buy them the best shoes, the best clothes, the best vehicles, but if you do not teach them and train them to be devoted to the Lord, you have failed as a father. Amen. You say, but you just don't know. I made sure they went to the greatest colleges, and I made sure they would be successful in life. You have failed as a father. Amen. If you do not train your children to be devoted to the Lord. Amen. I'm not against good education. I'm not against sports. I'm not against careers. But my number one goal in life as a father is to make sure my children are saved and sanctified and set apart to the Lord. Amen. Number one, if my children, I say it in front of them and God and everybody, and they know I'm for education, I'm for them not being dumb people. I'm not for that. I want my children to be able to read and write and excel in the education world. I do. I want that. But not more than I want them to be faithful to the Lord. If I had to choose that they would be illiterate, I would easily choose that they couldn't read or write. And they'd be saved and faithful to God. But thankfully, you don't have to make that choice. They can be both. They can read and write and learn and be smart and be spiritual. Amen. Amen. We've let the world make mandates and make us choose. Either you're going to be successful in the world and not in the church. Or, no, you can be faithful to God and devoted to God and I believe even more so, be more successful in that order. Seek ye first the kingdom, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these other things, they'll be added unto you. God will see to it you have food and raiment. God will see to it your needs are met and you will succeed. If you learn to devote yourself to God and seek Him first.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
That's right. I got to hurry. Only 48 points to go. I'm just kidding. My desire is to see my children saved, living for Jesus. Honest, humble, and not be lazy. Amen. I mean that. Don't have to be rich and famous to please me. Be faithful to the Lord. It's being pushed down the throats of people living in this day and hour we're living that you've got to keep up with the crowd and you got to accumulate all this stuff. Listen, I believe we have way too much stuff. I mean that. Clothes. Just walk around your home and look at all the stuff you have. Can I say this? Stuff will not bring you satisfaction. You can buy more stuff and you'll like it for a day or a week or two and it'll lose its luster. I promise you. And you can buy the best stuff that money can buy and it will not satisfy you. Sow your life into spiritual areas and train your children to be devoted to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Our family motto is we are blood, we are family. And there's nothing or nobody that's going to come in between that. I want my children to know that their daddy will stand with them against the church even. And I will.
Amen.
Get acting goofy to one of my children and I'll just show you. I'm not going to stand with somebody being goofy and acting crazy around my children. I will stand with my children. I want my children to know, even above the church, I'm their daddy. Above being a preacher, I'm their daddy. And I will stand for them and with them.
Amen.
And so should you and so do you.
Amen.
Amen. They need to know that. They need to have the comfort of knowing Daddy's there. Daddy's a faithful. I mean, He's going to be there in the morning just like the sun rises. Daddy will be there for me.
Amen.
They need that. They need that. Amen. Let them know you're devoted to them. They need to know that. They need to hear that. We just assume, well, they know it. I ain't got to tell them I love them. They know it. Well, they need to hear it. Tell them you love them. Show them your attention. Show them your affection. And show them you're devoted to them succeeding. And the best way to do that is be devoted to Him. And then you can be devoted to them. Amen. Amen. Number two, a successful father will not only devote his family to the Lord, but a successful father will discipline those that he loves. You're talking about really getting off the beaten track in this day and age we're living. If that first one wasn't popular, this one sure won't be. What do you mean? Discipline. Send them to time out. Take their iPad away or their Xbox or whatever they play these days. No, I'm going to give you a Bible definition of how we are supposed to discipline our children. Amen. God knew that there would be iPhones in 2022. God knew there'd be iPads and tablets and 40,000 other different electronic devices they could play. And God knew all that. And God still give us the way and the right way to discipline children.
Amen.
And it still works. Regardless of what the school says, regardless of what the government says, this way that God give us to discipline children is the biblical, godly, scriptural, spiritual way to discipline your children.
Amen.
And it works. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, and ye have forgotten that exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Let me stop right there and say, you don't love your children near as much as another man who loves his children. But you say, oh, I love them too much to whoop them. No, that's just, I'm just going to be honest with you. That's a lie. You say, how dare you? You don't know how much I love my son. Oh, yes, I do. According to the Word of God, you don't love him too much if you won't chasten him.
That's it. Amen.
That's right. Because God gave a principle and God set up in a law in motion that if we chasten our children, that it will protect them from harm down the road. And if we don't chasten them, and if we don't love them enough to chasten them, we are inviting them to and pointing them to disaster and heartache and hurt. And it don't feel good. No chastening feels good at the moment. Not to the one doing the chastening or the one receiving the chastening. But it's necessary. And if you love them, show them. God loves you enough to chasten you. If that mentality was right, then God would never chasten his children. But the truth is, that ain't right. God loves us enough, and he knows that chastening is absolutely important and necessary in order to keep us from danger down the road. And God will not let you get by. If you can live in sin and you can love sin and lap it up and God never chasten you or rebuke you or knock you down and then according to the Bible, you are a bastard and not a son. You are illegitimate. You may say you're saved, but according to the Word of God, you are not saved if you can live in sin and never be rebuked and never be chastened by the Lord. Say, preacher, you just said a cuss word. No, I didn't. That's what the Bible says. The world and the devil has hijacked a word out of the Word of God and made it into a cuss word. That's not a cuss word at all. It's right there in your Bible. That's right. Well, it goes on to say in verse 7, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correcteth us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Chastisement is for our profit. Amen. Chastisement is for your children's profit. By the way, please hear me. You should never whoop your children mad. It's never a good idea for them to get on your last nerve and you let them push you and push you and push you till you can't be pushed no more. And then they've got on your last nerve. And then it's a reaction. They finally push you over the edge and you just haul off That's not how to chasten a child. You ever notice how you might think you get by on God with something because you sinned and he didn't just come down out of heaven with a lightning bolt and set you on fire? You thought, well, maybe I got by with that. Oh, no. God's wrath grinds slow but fine. Be sure your sins will find you out. God ain't forgot. Just because he don't fly off the handle at you don't mean he's not coming to deal with that. You remember this. You ever had your mama tell you, when your daddy gets home, I'm not going to do nothing, but when your daddy gets home. See, I never got that. My daddy, I didn't get that. I'd always get it right then and then get it again when they got home. I would wear 2 pair of breeches before my mama got home. I would. That's not a lie. How y'all think I turned out so good? Listen to this verse 11. It says, no chastening Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You've all heard this statement too. Now, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And I'd always say, well, then don't hurt neither one of us. Why go through all that trouble? That never worked either. I'm simply saying chastening does hurt at the moment. Nobody likes it, but it's necessary. I say this and move on, but please get back to dealing with your children. They will respect you more. They will love you more. And they'll appreciate you more. You know how I can say that honestly? Because I do. I thank the Lord my mom didn't let me turn into a wild Comanche Indian running through public acting like a nut. I mean that. You go walk through Walmart these days and just see how children treat their parents. Yeah. It's absolutely crazy. I'm going to count to 10, Johnny. We never got past 3 and the hickory would be out. That's right. I'm saying, I bet, I know this is controversial too. I guarantee you there'd be way less need of Ritalin and all that other stuff that people are pumping down these children's throats if we'd get the rod of correction back out. No, this nation today would just soon dope them up and make them zombies than to deal with the way God said deal with it. Amen. Every child needs correction except one, and his name was Jesus. Amen. Amen. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Amen. Let me hurry. Number 3, not only a successful father will devote his family to the Lord and discipline those that he loves, but number 3, a successful father will delight in his children. I already touched on this. I won't stay here, but they need to know you love them. If all they ever hear from you is scolding and rebuke, and all they ever feel from you is a chastening hand, they need to see the other side. God don't just deal with you in wrath. God don't just deal with you in anger and in chastening. No, God will chasten you, but then he will bring you and pull you to himself and love on you and show his affection toward you. And a child needs that. Amen. Delight in your children. Love on them. Look at them. Soon they will be gone. Put the phone down and realize soon all you'll have of them is the pictures on your phone. You better enjoy them while they're there. Amen. Amen. Listen to them. A little boy at the table asked, said, Daddy, do you like to eat bugs? He said, hush, boy, don't talk. We don't talk about that stuff at the table. And when they finished eating, Daddy said, now, son, what was it you was wanting to ask me? He said, well, never mind now, Daddy, you done eat the bug. I was going to try to tell you about it. Yeah. Better listen to them. Never get to the point where your kids despise you. Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We can provoke them to wrath. We must show them we love them and we delight in them. We can't just be whopsided. It's got to be balance in the home, or we can provoke them to wrath. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Again, fathers, provoke not your children unto anger, lest they be discouraged. Always be there and make time for them, and they won't be bitter at you. Don't make time for everybody else's children and lose your own. Well, that's another area I've had to watch, trying to help everybody else's children, and while my own has questions, and I ain't got time. Shh, I'm on the phone. I'm helping somebody else's children while my own need help. That'll cause terrible things. They need to know. To you, they are what helps your world to rotate. They make your life, and they need to know that. Make sure they know they can always come to you. as a father, that you'll do anything in your power to fix it. So finally, a successful father will devote his family to the Lord and discipline those that he loves, and he will delight in his children. But finally, he will demonstrate how to follow Jesus. That is a must, and that's what we'll close with this morning. But it ain't enough to demand it and to preach it and to say it. We have to show it. I mean, live a life that they can... Listen, you do know they learn way more by what they see than what they hear. We can tell them till Jesus comes, but what they see us do, that's what they will mimic and follow and become. And they need us to demonstrate how it's done. Do you know, children, a lot of times they just don't know. We assume they know how to be a Christian, especially brought up in the church. We assume their Sunday school teacher is going to show them how to be saved and teach them what the Bible says. And we just assume the preacher will preach on it and they'll get what they need. But no, Father, no, Daddy, it's your responsibility in your home. It's my responsibility in my home to demonstrate to them what being a Christian is. Listen, I've said this over and over, but the church, as a preacher, I have your children for at the most 3 or 4 hours a week. You got them 24 a day, every day. And if you think I can fix in 3 hours what you build and create all week, that ain't going to happen. Don't ever point a finger at the Sunday school teacher and expect them to do something that you ain't willing to live at home. Amen. Or the preacher preaching. I'm saying it's got to be stable. What they hear at church has to be lived at home, demonstrated. Amen. If your child follows your footsteps, will it lead them to Christ? Kids need to see a sermon just as much as they need to hear it. They need to see their daddy on his knees. They need to see their daddy in his Bible. When's the last time your child saw you pick up the Word of God at home? When's the last time your child walked in on you praying at home? They need that. They need to see it. They need more than me to preach it. They need to see you live it. If preaching don't mean much to you and you never take what's preached home and put it in practice, I promise you they won't. They must see you practicing what they've heard preached. If it's ever going to transfer to them, it's got to go through you. Amen. They need to see Daddy get up on Sundays and go to church, pay his tithes. Amen. Care about missions. Daddy, if you don't care about people around the world dying and going to hell, they will never have a burden. If you don't care enough to say, we're not going to eat out as many times this week, we're going to help these missionaries out to get the gospel out. It ain't going to transfer. It ain't going to carry on. They must see a burden in you if it's ever going to be carried on to them. I had this wrote down. I'm not going to say much about it. I said they need to see us demonstrate how not to run down our church at home and then expect the church to save them and help them when we get over our temper tantrum. I can't tell you how many times people, and I could give you names and specifics, but parents have went home and run me down. I mean, talked about me like I was a dog while their children were listening. Only for them to get over their little spell, and then they'd be on the phone me begging me to go see their children, and their children has zero respect in me because they have run me down to their children in such a way they don't want to hear from the preacher. Right. Not just their preacher, but any preacher, because they've lost all respect in preachers because they heard mom and daddy running the preacher down. Heard mom and daddy running the church down. And we wonder why after 18, the percentile is up in the 80 to 90% of children who were raised in church never return. It's because they didn't have a daddy in the home who lived what he said. Amen. Amen. We've got to demonstrate the Christian life to our children. If we're going to be successful, it must be demonstrated. Say amen. That's the truth. Kids need to be able to say this and mean it. I know that God brought my daddy through, so he'll bring me through. I watched daddy trust God when things got hard, so I can trust God when things get hard. I watched daddy have faith in God when it didn't look like there was no answer, and God came through and delivered him and us. And if he did it for daddy, he can do it for us. They need to see that. In order to have confidence in God and confidence and faith that will grow, they got to see it demonstrated. That's right. Proverbs 20, verse 3 said, "It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg in harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." A man who will walk with character and integrity and live the life that he claims he has, his children will be blessed after him. I want to live a life that shows my children this is the life to live. This is the life. If you want a successful life, this is the one to live. I want them to know that. I've not just because God called me, but because I know this to be true. I've dedicated my life, and I have failed miserably, but I have dedicated the rest of my life to living for Jesus. One, because He saved me and I love Him. Two, because I'm surrendered to do that. He called me. But three, I want my children to know there's no life like living for Jesus. I mean that. J.C. Penney, you ever heard of him? These kids probably hadn't ever heard of J.C. Penney, but most of y'all my age and older have heard of J.C. Penney. J.C. Penney saved, he was a young man, he saved and bought a pig when he was a little boy, and he raised that pig up and sold it, and fattened the pig up and got it ready to sell, and sold that pig and saved the money from that sale, and he bought a bunch of pigs with that money, and he fattened all those pigs up and was going to sell them, and he had got them just about where he wanted them, and the neighbors began to raise Cain and call and say, "This he's stinking our community up, and he's making a mess out of our community." And his daddy come to him and said, "J.C., you got to sell them pigs tomorrow. They gotta be gone. No more pigs here." And he said, "But Daddy, why?" And his daddy said, "If it bothers our neighbors, we ain't gonna take part in it." So later in his life, a few years later, J.C. Penney went to work at the local grocery store, and he went down there, and on the job, he worked for a few days, and he noticed the owner of that little grocery store would go over and take this high dollar coffee, and he'd open the packages up, and he'd take the dirt poor coffee and pour it in the bags that sells for a lot of money, and he'd mix it together, and he'd put it back together and put it out for sale for high dollar coffee. And young J.C. Penney thought that was pretty amazing. He went home and told his daddy. He said, "You ain't gonna believe what this man down there at the grocery store did. He's making a killing doing that." His daddy said, "You quit tomorrow." He said, "But why, Daddy?" He said, "Because you ain't working for a crooked man." He said, "My son ain't working for a crooked man." J.C. Penney could have ended up being in the hog business. He could end up having J.C. Penney grocery stores, but his daddy stepped in and stood up for what was right and had integrity and had character and had Christian morals. And because of that, J.C. Penney grew up to be a man of integrity himself and become the man you know him to be. Yeah. And just because his daddy stopped him for one or two other things in life didn't mean he was killing his success. I believe he was projecting and propelling him into further success.
Amen.
His daddy made an impact and an influence. J.C. Penney, if you read his life stories, he told about those times when he was just a little boy because it made an indelible mark in his life. And he remembered, my daddy stood for something. My daddy believed in something. And it was more than money. It wasn't about the bottom dollar. It was integrity and character, and Christianity matters. And boy, we need that message to be loud and clear to our children in this day and hour we're living. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, in Jesus' name, pray you take the Word of God and speak to our hearts. Thank you for every father, every mother, Lord, every child, every home. And Lord, I pray you'd help me as a father to be more sold out and dedicated. Lord, help me to demonstrate in front of my children the life that would lead them into success, Lord God. I pray, Lord, if there's anybody here lost today, you'd save them. God, there would be no greater Father's Day than for some soul to be saved by your grace. Thank you, Father, for loving us when we were unlovable. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you, Father, for loving us enough to give your only begotten Son. Oh, God, no father knows like you know. And we thank you, Lord, for loving us. While we were in our sin, while we were at our worst, Lord, you gave your best, and we bless you for it. You demonstrated truly to us, Lord, how much you care. You proved to us, Lord, and I pray we'd do the same for our children. May we love them enough, Lord, God, to devote them to you. Lord, to discipline them when they need it. God, to live a life in front of them, God, that would show and reveal to them the integrity, character, and Christianity matters, Lord, to you and to us, Lord, and may it be seen in their lives. And I pray, God, you'd take our lives, Lord, and use it for your glory. Bless every father, Lord, for those that are grieving because it's be their first Father's Day without their father. I pray you'd touch them. For those that have children, for fathers in here who has lost children, God, I pray you'd minister to their hearts. This day ain't as easy for some as it is others. I pray you'd bless those, Lord, that need it most. Save those that need it. Strengthen those that need it. And we'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.